The Edge of Glory, Receiving the Power of the Holy Spirit, written by Charles Caron, forewords by Jack Taylor and R.T. Kendall, narrated by Stephen Lambert. Introduction. After the ascension of Jesus, when the disciples went everywhere preaching the word and were accused of turning the world upside down, they experienced the powers of the age to come. They were no longer mere men and women. They became disciples under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In a sense, they stood in the edge of glory. Their feet were on earth, but their faces were in heaven. Eternity shone through them like sunlight through a window. Whether then or now, nothing is more astonishing than discovering that God has placed within reach of ordinary believers the amazing power of the Holy Spirit. This is precisely what Jesus has made available to us all. Through miraculous signs and wonders, for lack of better language, we call these gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit draws back the veil and allows us to actually experience His awesome power. But the great tragedy of contemporary preaching is that many believers are taught about the Holy Spirit without being brought into a life-changing encounter with Him. Let us now embrace and enjoy all that God has for the church. He has promised. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 7:37-39. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Acts 1:8. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Acts 4:33. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:4-5. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. But the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. 1 John 2:20-7. Chapter 2. Anointing, the Fragrance of Jesus. Spiritually, we have only two choices. We either smell like resurrection or like a corpse. Denominational membership has nothing to do with it. From beginning to end, relationship with Jesus releases the power of the Holy Spirit. The original apostles and the anointing. On the day of the resurrection, Jesus suddenly appeared in the closed room where the disciples had gathered. He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John 20:22. In that phenomenal moment, each one received the life-changing, regenerating power of God. That day, they were born again, permanently transformed, translated from the dispensation of law into the dispensation of grace. In a moment's time, they stepped from the old covenant into the new. The new birth was exclusively a new covenant provision. It was foretold in the old, but became reality only when the resurrection had become historic fact. Exciting as this new birth was for the disciples, an equally dramatic imparting of the Holy Spirit awaited them. While they were still rejoicing over the resurrection, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. He said, "You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Acts 1:4-5, 8. It is vital that we recognize the difference in these two impartings of the Holy Spirit. The first achieved the disciples' personal salvation. The second, at Pentecost, was for empowering their ministry. As I shall show you in detail later, this followed the exact pattern of Jesus' two experiences with the Holy Spirit, conception and anointing. We might assume the disciples' 3 years of ministry training under Jesus, their love for Him, and their receiving the Holy Spirit on the day of the resurrection prepared them for power-endued ministry. Not so. These men would not be totally prepared to cast out demons, heal the sick, or relieve the oppressed until the Holy Spirit had come upon them. Jesus' most urgent instruction on the Mount of Ascension was that they not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. This expression, promise of the Father, is a specific reference to the ministry power of the Holy Spirit. While Pentecost was another new covenant provision and an additional confirmation of Jesus' resurrection, it did not come simultaneously with the disciples' new birth. Rather, it came in fulfillment of that promise of the Father, of which we later read, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." After the resurrection, Jesus was seen by 500 brethren at one time. Yet, on the day of Pentecost, only 120 were in the upper room. At least 380 missed the Holy Spirit's outpouring. Thankfully, in days following, thousands more were baptized in the Holy Spirit. The point is this: today, as then, not all saved people experience their personal promise of the Father. However, historians estimate that within 56 years following the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the gospel had been preached throughout the Roman world, much of the Far East, and quickly reached the British Isles.